Hello, my name is Billy. I'll be reading the Bible for us tonight. If you've got one of the pew Bibles just right in front of you, the passage will be found on page 746. This is John chapter 20, verses 1 through to 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the stripes of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came among behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Thanks, Billy. Billy and I are both involved in the Monday dinners, and we have so much fun. We would love for you to join us. Actually, it's, you know, my role at church, I'm one of the ministers here, to put on things like the Monday dinners and Hope Sunday and give opportunities for people who may not have background with church or may not express a faith in Jesus to come and to look into Jesus. And so if you're here today because you want to look into Jesus or because you actually like have been brought by family or friends because it's Easter, I just want to say welcome. Sometimes it feels like quite a big deal for people to walk into church, and we just want you to know that you're welcome here, not just at Easter, but anytime. Glad to have you today. And really it is a super happy celebration to be at Resurrection Sunday. For the last 2,000 years, people have been made really happy by what happened at Easter Sunday. And that's why we say Happy Easter, because genuinely, it is like a fountain of joy in the lives of many people. I'm wondering, as I look around the room, who's turned up with enthusiasm and, you know, a spirit of celebration tonight? Who's here with joy and excitement? I tell you this, when I was like, at a cafe once, I walked in and the lady that was serving the food said, "Why do you look so happy?" And I was there with Michelle, and it was 20 minutes after we just got engaged. And like, it was just oozing off us that we were happy. And the cafe owner was like, "Thank you for coming into my shop. You're bringing such good vibes. Here, have free food." And so we walked away even happier. And tonight, you know, it is in God's world, this is the day of happiness, and it does invite you into church today to bring that same energy perhaps even more joy, because this is even greater than an engagement. This is the greatest news that's possible. For you to be able to hear the message of Resurrection Sunday is very exciting. But the truth is, we turn up at Easter Sunday with all the things going on in our lives, and for some of us that means that there's things that sap our energy, maybe we're weary, maybe there's dark things, difficult things, challenging things. So you turn up, do you come with energy? Are you here to celebrate? Some of us, yes, some of us looking into it. Everyone's welcome, but today I want to help lift your spirits. I want to help remind you, if you already know this, I want to help introduce you to this, if you don't know this, that today is a day of great joy and it has the capacity to lift your spirits. So I'm going to give you three reasons tonight why Easter Sunday is a happy day. Here's the outline on the screen. Peace, light, and joy. That's where we're headed tonight. So three things that lift your spirits. Firstly, peace. And I'm pulling out this language from the passage that was read, so you could have the Bible open in front of you. I'll show some of the verses on the screen. In verse 19, Jesus came to his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Now, there's a lot of depth to this because it hasn't been that peaceful up until this point. You know, Jesus has been executed. That's not very peaceful. Peter has betrayed Jesus, denied Jesus three times. And so that's not very peaceful. And now they're in a room where they're locked up. They're afraid, so they've locked the doors because they're at risk and they're afraid. So this is not a very peaceful time. When Jesus turns up and says, "Peace be with you," it is filled with layers and layers of meaning. I'll give you three layers that, you know, I see when I see Jesus turn up and say, "Peace be with you." The first is this: peace in the presence of divinity. They call Jesus Lord right the way through this passage. And by the time you get up to this part of the Gospel of John, you're meant to be seeing Jesus as divine. By the end of the chapter, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." And that's what we see with Jesus, is his divinity. But this is a strange spiritual experience. I don't know if you've had a spiritual experience in your life. This is a spiritual experience. They're in a locked room, and then appears the resurrected Jesus. This is a divine encounter and a spiritual experience, and it would have the potential to be quite frightening. If we go back into the Old Testament and think of other encounters where perhaps it was an angel of the Lord or something that would meet with the people, they often were afraid. When anyone met with an angel of the Lord or something, they often fell on their knees and were saying, "Away from me, Lord, I'm unfit to be in your presence." Whereas when Jesus, the divine presence, turns up, what does he say? "Peace be with you." Calming their fears. A spiritual experience. Second thing, it's peace under his leadership, because they used to feel at peace when they had Jesus as their leader, and they thought, yeah, Jesus has got a great amount of control. He is really a man of authority who's, you know, leading people, changing our nation, and he's leading us to a time of peace. But then Jesus was arrested, Jesus was crucified, they'd lost their confidence that he was a leader that could bring them into peace. Now Jesus turns up and says, "Peace be with you." This is a renewed peace under his leadership. They're like, "Whoa, this was your plan all along. You were in control. You're still in control. Jesus is alive. There is peace under his leadership. Peace be with you." Now, the third layer of peace, keep in mind that someone like Peter had, you know, denied he was friends with Jesus, and then Jesus turns up and says, "Peace be with you." Someone like Peter would have found this very reassuring. The disciples who struggled to believe, who struggled to understand what it meant when Jesus said he was going to die and rise again, they didn't stick by him. They weren't loyal. Jesus turns up and says, "Peace be with you." So that's three layers to the peace. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," I want to bring that together as a bit of an Easter message and say Easter Sunday is about peace in the presence of divinity. A lot of people are afraid to meet God, afraid that if we had a divine experience, a divine encounter to meet God, that we would be worried that we would not be fit for his presence. And in many ways, we're right, except that he's merciful. And he turns up to those that have betrayed and abandoned him, and he says, "Peace be with you." He's offering peace on behalf of God, because he is my Lord and my God. And when he turns up and offers peace, we know he actually has the ability to give this kind of peace, because the Easter story, Jesus dies and rises again. And do you know this symbol of peace? It goes back to a V for victory, because when you have victory in war, it brings a time of peace. And Jesus has died and risen again, bringing victory over death. Jesus has died and risen. He has conquered the problem of sin and the devil, and he has been victorious, so that there's a new time of peace, so that God is offering the world, peace be with you. This is the first thing that could lift your spirits on Resurrection Sunday. Let's go to the second one, light. I'd call this darkness that turns into light. And I pick up on the theme of darkness in the very first verse of our reading, because early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, was when Mary went to the tomb. When you look at darkness in the Gospel of John, there's a thread and a theme. It's traced through. It's often associated with things like blindness, inability to see, or other things like darkness and evil even. In this case, with all of the people running to the tomb and not being able to make sense of it, it's associated with the inability to understand the glory of what's taking place. People's minds are not clear to what's going on. And this is the thing. I mean, we could really appreciate this. No one has ever seen someone rise from the dead. So it's human nature that if you were told that someone was going to rise from the dead, you would twist that, figure out another explanation, try and come up with an alternative. Jesus has a number of times told them that he's going to die and then rise again, but they could not process that. They could not believe or understand that. And so they are in darkness. Mary goes to the tomb in darkness. She's crying. It says in verse 11 that she's crying and grieving, and we're drawn into her grief. And then there's two angels dressed in what? Dressed in white, bright white. They turn up and they say to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you crying?" She explains the tears. "Well, they've taken away my Lord." But then she turns and sees Jesus, and Jesus asks the same question, but she doesn't recognize Jesus. Jesus says, "Woman, why are you crying?" The suggestion is, now's not the time for crying. Now's the time for celebrating. The tomb's empty, not because the body of Jesus has been stolen, but because Jesus is alive. This is the good news. Jesus adds, "Who are you looking for?" And she still doesn't recognize him. She's still in the dark. The one she's looking at is the one she's looking for. Doesn't recognize the resurrected body of Jesus. Jesus says, "Mary." And because they're friends from way back, she recognizes his voice, and she finally realizes. The darkness becomes light. She goes from cries of grief to cries of recognition. Rabboni, she's excited that a teacher is back, and this is the moment where the darkness becomes light. She starts to see the plans of God unfolding. She sees that Jesus didn't just die, he rose again, and now Jesus is explaining that it is about to ascend to heaven. Verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is where the lights become even brighter. There's two things here that are brighter. Firstly, getting clearer on the plans of God. God's plan is for Jesus to die and rise again and ascend to the Father, to be in heaven. And so Jesus says, "Don't cling on to me. Your joy is now here because I'm alive, but actually I'm ascending to heaven. You won't see me again. You won't see me any longer. Do not cling on to me." The second thing that Jesus does, though, is he has this language of family. Can you see it there? It talks about brother and father and this language of family. Jesus is talking about his 12 disciples as his brothers. And he's talking about God the Father not only as his Father, but as their Father. And this is actually a new stage in the Gospel of John, Because Jesus has been saying all along that there is the opportunity to become children of God. But now he's actually saying to them, God is your father and you're part of the family. This harks back to John chapter 1. At the very beginning of the gospel, it talks about light coming into the world. It says that the light that shines was coming into the world. The true light that gives light to every person was coming into the world, but the world did not recognize the light. Except it says in John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, because the light is a him, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. This is what we're seeing unfold, is that resurrected Jesus is now inviting people into the household and into the family of God. And so this is the bright light of Easter. It's not just that the disciples are called brothers and invited to call God Father. It's for anyone who believes in the name of Jesus and sees that he is the light of the world is able to begin calling God their Father. This is the great news of Easter. The lights get even brighter when you piece this together with some of the other things Jesus has been teaching, because, you know, we already read in John chapter 14, if you've been around for the last term and hearing all the different parts of John, we've gone through the whole gospel over the last couple of years, but John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Are your hearts troubled? Jesus is speaking to his disciples saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. This is Jesus saying that when he ascends to heaven, he is going there to prepare a room in the household of God so that the family members of God can have the eternal hope that we would be able to join God in heaven forever and have the same resurrected life, eternal life, that Jesus now has, that he's risen from the dead. This is a very bright light for the future. If you have a troubled heart, there is nothing more powerful than knowing that God has this, that he cares for you, and that in the end, all things will turn out okay in heaven with eternal hope. Now, this is the kind of hope, we'll think more about this next week, Hope Sunday. But this is the kind of hope that can genuinely bring light into your dark troubles. Now, I don't know what you're going through and how deep it is. Some of us are going through smaller challenges of the day-to-day, maybe the shadows of darkness, and others are going through some very deep challenges. And we can't pretend that the room isn't filled with all kinds of differences, and some of you are experiencing things on a degree or level that is much harder than others. Dave McDonald wrote a book called Hope Beyond Cure because he was having a particularly hard time with the news that he'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer. As a man of faith, he decided to write a book about this, and this is what he said. I didn't ask for the cancer. I want it to go away. And I long to be healthy again. But I can't control these things. If I focus only on my circumstances, then my hopes and fears will rise and fall according to what I'm experiencing. Hope will depend on a good diagnosis, a new treatment, increased wealth, returning to work, a new relationship, or some other improvement in my circumstances. When these things fail, so will my hope. Any hope based on these things will be pathetically weak and unreliable. God reminds me that hope doesn't come from me being in control of my circumstances. Rather, real hope comes through trusting that he is near, that he will not forget me, and that he will work out all things for good. I don't know what troubles you're facing, but if Dave McDonald, a man of faith, can find hope in the midst of terminal illness, to be able to say that he knows God has things under control, that God is near, he will not forget him, and in the end, because of the resurrection of Jesus, you can be confident that there is eternal hope, a prepared room in heaven. This is great hope. Desmond Tutu said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. I wonder in your darkness whether you are able to see the light of Easter, the light of Jesus. You might be overwhelmed by darkness in your life. Desmond Tutu wrote this during apartheid as he was fighting for a brighter day. There might be difficulties in your life. Easter Sunday is not meant to take away the challenges. Jesus himself had many dark days that he had to persevere through before he rose from the dead and entered his glory. But Easter Sunday does give you the hope of the light of God's plans that says that there is a room in heaven and that God cares and that you can become a member of his household. The disciples didn't understand this at first. They wanted Jesus to be the kind of leader that brought freedom from trouble in this life now. They wanted him to be the leader of Israel that would bring them into a time of prosperity and peace. They wanted health and happiness now. But Jesus was on about doing something more lasting. That was, he was dying and rising to be victorious over death, sin, and the devil so that we could enter the household of God and have eternal life. All of that introduces joy into your life, even in the midst of very difficult things. And so I want to finish with this last point. The third thing about Easter, which can lift your spirits, is joy. I've chosen the star-struck emoji for this one because when they see the Lord is when they experience joy. And it's actually the coming of Jesus and seeing him again that fills them with joy. You see this in verse 20. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. You see the word overjoyed? This is like a fountain of happiness, what I was saying at the start. This isn't just happiness. This is joy. It's deep and it's lasting. And it's not just joy. It's overjoyed. It's overflowing happiness. And the reason they were overjoyed is because they saw the Lord. Now, in part, this means, obviously, they saw an old friend. They saw the one that they'd lost. They saw the one that had died. But on a very deep level, it's also introducing us to this lasting joy that the whole Gospel of John's been speaking about. You trace the theme of joy through the Gospel of John, and you see that there is a joy that can never be taken away. I'll pick up on this from John. Where am I finding this? This is on the screen. You'll see it on the screen. Before Jesus died, he said this to prepare his disciples for the grief that they are about to experience. And he said, "Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." The question there is, well, why will they have a lasting joy? Especially if Jesus is going to ascend and leave them again. How could they possibly have lasting joy? We'll finish the passage, verse 23. "In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete." Joy is what happens when you're able to enter the star-struck presence of the Lord because you're a member of the household of God, because you have a relationship with God. Jesus brings you into a relationship with God and enables you the privilege of being able to pray so that you can at any time, in any level of suffering, turn to God and know that he's there walking alongside you, that you can pray to him. And there is the eternal hope and joy that's bound up with being starstruck in the presence of the Lord. On Thursday, I was driving to Sydney from over the mountains and I rang up Jack and I was like, "Jack, he's a member here." I'm looking at him in the distance there, tallest guy in the congregation. I said, "Jack, you told us recently that you'd become a Christian and it changed your life." It was great to hear Clara's story before. Jack was sharing his and I heard him say that when he became a follower of Jesus and he got into that with his heart and emotions, as Clara said, that actually it brought a new season of peace and a new season of joy. And I was thinking, I want to ring Jack to find out, well, just tell us, what did that mean for you, Jack, that you entered a new season of peace even when you're going through hard times? And I'm going to paraphrase you, Jack, but this is kind of what he said on the phone. He said, when you're going through a hard time, you still know God cares. You know your worth because you're a child of God. You know that you can give it over to God. You can pray. You can draw near. And you know that if you persevere like Jesus persevered, in the end there is eternal life. And that brings a lot of peace and joy into the present circumstances of life. I hope I represented you okay there, Jack. Thanks for sharing that with us all through my words. But what I'm saying here is that Easter has the power to lift your spirits and bring you a new peace and a new joy. Because through Jesus, your anxieties and troubles give way to the peace of God, the light that He brings, and an eager expectation that you will be able to meet the Lord, be in His household, and live with Him forever. If for you this is a new concept and there's too many passages and too much going through tonight, you need time to think about it. I want to invite you to come back next week. You want more hope? Come back next week for Hope Sunday. There'll be more of this. For now, I just want to say that there's so much depth to Easter. I've already used up all my time on three words with three emojis. And any other preacher could have come up here and spoken a whole lot of other ideas relating to Easter that have the ability to bring joy, because Easter is a fountain of joy. I'm going to invite the band to come up, because one of the things we do in church is we love singing, because apart from giving praise to God, it's also we sing when we're happy and when we celebrate. And today's a day of celebration. I want to bring to you some lyrics that we're about to sing. It says, to this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won and I shall overcome. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Happy Easter, everyone.